welcome to the first sort of demo version of Kungfuology.com podcast. I am Jake Newby, and with me here in the studio is my fellow blogger, Andy Best.
Hello.
That's Andy there. And basically the idea of these podcasts is that we're going to go through a few of the big issues and big stories that we've been writing about on the blogs in the last couple of weeks. In the post that you're where you'll find this podcast, you'll find all the links to the things that we talk about. And
a lot of people might wonder, after the blog's been on for almost 18 months since I started the first one, and Jake was writing at Shanghaiist in my absence there, we've only just done a podcast now. And you know, there are other expat podcasts around these days. I'm sure some listeners are aware, and maybe you might think we're jumping on the bandwagon, but you know, I have to say, it's always been our intention to stimulate our readers orally. But you know, in the early days of the blog, we just didn't know you well enough, and we quite frankly felt a little bit self-conscious about it. So that's the first and only time you're going to hear a gag like that, by the way.
But I think that set the tone for all of the podcasts there, really, hasn't it?
It did, didn't it? And yeah, but now, you know, now we feel confident that we can put in a reasonable performance.
On that note, basically today we're going to have a look at the MIDI Awards. MIDI is celebrating their 10-year anniversary. They've come out with a whole list of awards for it, so we're going to take a look through that.
Which we've basically cherry-picked from chinamusicradar.com.
Yes. We're also going to take a look at the Ling Ling Zhou San showcase, the latest of which was last Sunday. And we're also going to have a look at the fact that shows are now back on at Harley's.
After a nearly 2 or more year hiatus, basically.
At least 2 years, I think. Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of shows, we'll take a look ahead to weekend with LayerBolter.com, who are going to be promoting a big night, and that is squaring off against a big punk night at Mao.
Yeah, that'll be headlined by Mi San Dao, the Beijing Skinhead band, who are a big long-term scene fixture up there.
Okay, so the first thing we wanted to take a look at was the MIDI Awards. And MIDI, obviously, they are, you know, a pretty big name on the scene, I think.
Well, for people who are kind of new to the scene or new in Shanghai, maybe we could explain exactly, because we're in Shanghai, what is MIDI? What's the MIDI school?
Right, so the MIDI school is a school of music, obviously, and it's in Beijing. And I think it's fair to say in the last, you know, 10 years that it's been about, it's pretty much been, you know, the center of the Beijing scene, and sort of, and it's been crucial to a lot of bands. A lot of bands have come out from the MIDI school. That's where a lot of them have met, a lot of them have formed. And they've also been putting on festivals for the last 10 years. These have started with just a couple of bands playing in the school grounds, and, you know, they've basically set the way. They've led the way in terms of festivals in China.
Yeah, and the festivals have been a bit up and down recently. In fact, one of the posts we've had on Jake's blog recently was that the latest incarnation of a Shanghai MIDI festival, they signed a contract in a place, the Daning Park.
The big one up near the Circus World, right.
Yeah, and then 3 days later, the kibosh came down, and so that was a lie for literally 3 days. But now, what we're talking about now is that China Music Radar have written about the fact that they're moving into a kind of a new area, which I think is a bit strange for a scene which is largely underground and based on DIY. So, Jake, what is that? What are they doing now?
Well, I mean, as part of MIDI are celebrating 10 years this year. And as part of those celebrations, they're having a big weekend festival at the end of this month. And as part of that, they are doing Chinese Rock Music Awards.
An awards show kind of thing. Right. I don't know if they're having a show, but this is announced online?
It's been announced online, yeah. I think, I believe that China Music Radar came across this on Douban, on the MIDI Douban site. And as far as I know, I think it is actually a show. So I think the idea is that there'll be bands playing across the weekend. And what they'll do is they'll have, say, one or two bands will play their sets.
Right.
And then they'll come on and announce a couple of the awards, and then another band will come on, and they'll sort of alternate between the bands and the awards.
Yeah.
So
this means I'll be able to do, if they have an actual show, I'll be able to do a Kanye West, won't I? I'll be able to, like, get up there, storm the stage, take the mic off. Who's the MIDI school band who's dominating the proceedings?
Miserable Faith.
Yeah, I'll steal the mic off them, and I'll be like, I'm sorry, you're a talented band, but Love Rock Seed, they just have the best CD out right now. I just had to say that.
Well, this is the crux of the matter for me, really, I think. As you mentioned, like Miserable Faith, who, you know, have been a long-running band, and, you know, I'm sure they're a quality act and what have you. But they have been nominated in pretty much every single one of the
award
categories.
And sometimes more than once in the same category, and they're a MIDI band.
Well, I think it's the best song category, where there's only three nominees in the first place, and Miserable Faith have got two of those nominations. The only other nomination is actually for a song from 2008, and this is the 2009 awards.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a bizarre category, that one. And like you say, Miserable Faith, they are a MIDI band. They were formed at MIDI. They've played pretty much every MIDI festival that there's ever been, and it seems a bit of a strange one.
Yeah. Well, to justify it a bit, I mean, awards around the world, including this one, are organised largely by private groups who represent a certain part of a certain scene, and it's always going to be limited, you know, within certain parameters. It happens in every awards and every part of the music industry around the world. This is no different. If you go into the links on this blog post, you'll be able to click into the China Music Radar post. You'll see the nominations, and you'll see that it's very Beijing scene oriented, and very within that MIDI bands oriented. And it's not that controversial, because an awards ceremony seems very surreal to me in an underground scene. But it brings me on to the fact that we do actually think that this year something has been brutally overlooked.
Well, this is
Jake.
Do you want to say
what it is?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, I think taking on board all of that awards for rock music and what have you—it seems a bit of a strange kind of thing, anyway. But when China Music Radar actually put out a post a few days before they announced who was in each category, saying MIDI were going to have these awards, and asking for predictions. And right. I went on the post and I left a comment pretty much straight away and said, album of the year, hands down, has to be Lava Oxy's album.
Yeah. And let me clarify, this is not... We're in Shanghai. We're big on our Shanghai pride and Shanghai versus Beijing, etc., etc. Lava Oxy, the driving sort of force behind that band is Han Han, who is himself right. from Anhui. And Miniless Records, which he runs, and which the band are kind of like the key act in the stable,
yeah.
are from... the bands come from various parts of China. He's based in Shanghai currently, but it's not really a Shanghai thing. And the producer of this CD, because the real thing about this CD is the sound production... And the quality, which is as good as any industry CD around the world, despite coming from a place without an industry. I mean, it's all DIY. The producer is Yang Haisong, who is famed as the singer of PK14. And he's based in the Beijing scene, and his band is originally from Nanjing. So for me, this CD and this band and this production, it's very representative of a China scene. I don't think it shouldn't be overlooked. You know, sort of regionally.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this isn't just us sort of taking one of our sort of, I don't know, like a pet band from Shanghai or something and trying to sort of boost it up. I mean, like you say, it very much is representative of so many different areas of China and representative of a lot of what's going on here. And I think the important thing you say is like the quality of the production on it is, this isn't us saying, oh, this is a really good album for China or something like that, in that sort of way. It's a really good album. I mean, it's one of the best records that I've listened to all year. And,
Yeah, and I'm holding a copy of it in my hand now. Not only is the music and the production excellent, I mean, the designs, the concept, it's just first rate. I mean, I'm actually stroking it now. I'm stroking it in my hands, and I'm one step away from making kind of like purring.
It's a little disturbing,
noises.
Actually. It's probably just as well this isn't a video cast or something. But
this is a prized possession of mine, and I hold it in as high esteem as in any of the great studio albums that I've had from any country in my whole sort of life of listening to music. I mean, it's great, but I guess we're going to have to move on to other things and not turn this into a massive sort of CD stroking masturbatory session.
So. Yeah, it might not be the best start to a podcast, I suppose. But I mean, basically, if you haven't heard the album, find it. We'll link to it in this post, ways you can hear
we'll
it.
We'll play a track at the end.
We'll play a track at the end. It really, really is, you know, one of the best records that I've heard in a long, long time. And it deserves to win any sort of awards, be they, you know, a bit dubious.
And through the band members, the music, and especially Yang Haisong, the producer, it has the credibility and people have the awareness of it to be included in anybody's sort of survey for 2009. So, so Joke, where were we on, was it Sunday night?
It was Sunday night, yeah, yeah. We were at Yu Yin Tang for the latest Ling Ling Zhou San showcase, or 0093 showcase.
And it was party number 12.
It's number 12 now, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And if you've been following the blog, we've been covering these since, in fact, pre-blog times, I covered number 4 and maybe number 3 in Shanghai. So this is a local rehearsal studio, and this is the night where they're inexperienced newer bands can just get up and play, and sometimes it can be a massive long night, 7 bands, you don't see anyone you like, but most of the time there's at least one or two sort of like hidden gems, and you see them and you say they're going to be a good band, you know, in 6 months time or whenever.
I think that's the great thing about them in a way, though, isn't it, is that they are, it is a bit of a gamble going to them almost in a way, but I think, you know, most of the time you'll see something that makes it worth going, and you know, you're not going to see the finished product at these kind of nights, and that's not really the point. Like I said, the whole idea is that these are young bands, and it's getting them a bit of experience and getting them out onto the stage and making them produce in front of a crowd, right? And you know, most of the time you'll see a couple of bands, hopefully, that you think, okay, these are guys who I want to see again, I want to follow them, I want to go and listen to their stuff, and I want to see where they go.
But these nights are basically the places where you can see who's going to be coming through in the Shanghai scene. And also, you can get, what I've noticed, and jump in if you think I'm wrong here, but you can, it's like a barometer for like what styles are popular among the bands who are kind of forming now, you know, because like originally in the old 0093s, like the Five Pointed Stars and the kind of the Linkin Park-esque bands were really big. There were loads of them. And then in the middle, it got a bit sort of poppier. And then now it's coming back to this kind of like rambling indie, kind of like got vocals, but a bit of shoegazing in. But then we got surprised on the weekend when we saw a band featuring folk, underground folk sort of singer. I'm hesitating here and I'm trying to keep a straight face because his name is Fanche Chao Dan. Have you been learning Chinese recently? Because in Chinese 101, you will recognize that as the name of the dish off the menus, which is the egg and tomato dish, right?
I noticed you enunciate the tones there very nicely, by the way.
I did, because this is a public podcast, and I didn't want to embarrass myself, so I made sure I did my proper.
Good work. I'm glad it was you rather than me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Jake, tell us about Fanche Chao Dan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting, really, because like you say, he is, you know, in some ways he's the leader of this sort of underground folk scene in Shanghai in a lot of ways at the moment. He organises a lot of what's going on, and he, you know, he's very involved with the Ling Ling Zhou San shows.
Especially when they actually started a Douban online group, 0093 Folk.
Absolutely, yeah. And this was his effort, and it was all brought up by him, and, you know, he's done a lot of work for them. Now, the thing is, usually, I think it's fair to say, it's pretty much just it's him and his guitar, right? I think if you go and see, like, one of his shows.
Usually, it's Fanche Chao Dan, his guitar, a stool, his bleach blonde big hair, and his tracksuit top.
Well, this is the other thing, is that we nearly didn't recognise him on Sunday night, is because, this big mess of hair that he usually carries around on top of his head, almost sort of sideshow Bob-esque, is gone.
And yeah, he changed his image for his new lineup. Yeah.
Right, and he had a nice little hat on, and he had straight back hair, and he had his big glasses on, and we actually almost weren't sure that it was him.
Yeah,
but it was, and his band in English, I think we're going to translate it as Runaway Snail.
Yeah, Snail, Runaway Snail. Yeah,
yeah, I think that's the best translation that I can come up with so far, basically. And they were great. They were fantastic. I really enjoyed them a lot.
Yeah, so if I may, this is a combination of Fanche Chao Dan is normally one of those indie folk singers who it's all about the kind of entertaining, cleverly funny lyrics and the delivery. So in the gig last night, some of the lyrics were like mock red out of a Lei Feng emblazoned notebook. Some of it was shouted to the audience almost in like sort of like call and answer format. And it was a very clear, sort of like almost like spoken word over folk style. And the addition of a full lineup didn't change that. It was still based around his witty lyrics and his delivery, which, considering they've only just started performing this lineup, was really good. And the locals and us and Chinese speakers really enjoyed the show.
I thought he really came out as a performer. Actually, I mean, not that he doesn't when he does his own thing, but I think with a band behind him, you know, it just sounded great, and you know, it all seems come together nicely for them. I thought, and they worked really well as a unit, and you know, I thought they were a quality act, really.
Yeah, it was good. And for him, the whole diamond in the rough, or kind of the kind of like sketchy feel to their opening gig, if you like, works for him because that's his style, basically. Yeah. You know, sketchy underground folk, and it's all about his personality, his wordplay. And what's interesting is, of course, that harkens back to one of the most legendary acts on the Shanghai scene, Top Floor Circus, who are known for theatrical performances, clever wordplays, mixing up of styles. And the funny thing is, he paid tribute to that almost in a very interesting way, when his opening songs, his opening track, included lyrics describing how he was having problems with his girlfriend because she didn't appreciate Top Floor Circus. And it was funny how, again, a big feature of this kind of music is the references, right? Yeah. The sort of obscure references. And when you're listening to that in English, an English language song, you really appreciate that. And of course, this is going to be the problem for people with Fan Che Chao Dan, is that if you're not a strong Chinese speaker and you're an expat, you're not really going to be able to appreciate, you know, everything he's about. But I mean, I'm going to plug him anyway because it was great. And
well, in a way, yeah, though, that's what made it great for me about him having the band behind him, is that obviously he's up front and it is still very much about his sort of funny little wordplays and his little jokes, and you know, that's what his lyrics are all about. But in a way, you know, when it's just him and his guitar, that's the only focus of his music, almost, in a way. It's just his lyric, and not that it's not that when he has the band, but I think it makes it more accessible almost. And all right, you can't maybe understand all the subtleties and all the little jokes here and there, but I think sound-wise, you know, there's a lot more to it there rather than just him and his guitar. And I think, you know, perhaps that will make it easier for people to get into, even if they don't necessarily understand everything that he's saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And like all things, like all acquired tastes or things you have to work at, when you do get it, it's hugely rewarding. And if 0093, Ling Ling Zhou San, is a barometer of styles that are coming back with the new up and coming talent, I mean, perhaps this kind of like sort of very literate, clever underground folk is hasn't died off yet, and perhaps this is on the way back up. So what about the other band then, New Vector?
Yeah, New Vector. I mentioned these ever so slightly on a post just before that.
Yeah, we have a post and a video on Jake's blog.
We
right
do,
now, available,
yeah,
now.
Yep. And I mentioned them a couple of days before the gig, and saying that they were one of the bands that I specifically wanted to see. It's always hard with the Ling Ling Zhou San sort of showcases, you know, picking out bands beforehand. But New Vector was certainly one who I wanted to see. Basically, this came because I'd heard some of their tracks on Douban, and you know, they seemed like, you know, like they were a pretty good band already, actually, in some ways. Or at least there was enough there to sort of interest me in that I wanted to go in and you know, and check them out.
Right. Whereas I have to admit to not having heard a single like note of them when I went into the gig, so I'll just put that out there.
Okay, well, there you go. So we came at it from two different ways. So overall, I you know, I was impressed with them. I mean, it's funny, you know, because you mentioned that video that we've put up. I put the video up, and the lead singer actually sent me a message sort of straight afterwards and said, and she felt that she wasn't very pleased with it, basically. She was asking me, you know, did you record any other songs, or, you know, have you got any other stuff that you can put up of us?
Oh my God.
because she felt it wasn't a great performance. Right. And, you know, again, with these showcases, you're not looking for the finished product. You know, you're not looking for a world-beating band.
Well, let me spin some sort of atmosphere around it, right? Because when they took the stage, the first thing I noticed was there's a girl singer. She's wearing a kind of like hooded top with the animal ears on it. She's a bit quirky looking. She's doing a bit of a Fei Wong eccentric thing, which can go either way. if it's right. legitimate and the music style matches, it can be very atmospheric and very interesting and be full of indie cred. On the other hand, it can be very pretentious, right? If it's all layered on without any sort of anything, any weight behind it or good music behind it. So I was interested. And when they started playing, I was immediately taken to, and I've mentioned this to you and you've put it on the blog a bit, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. especially in the early seasons, there's one nightclub in their small town called The Bronze. And the music that was on in there was usually live bands, and it was usually these kind of atmospheric, ambient indie bands with sort of singers that sort of almost like moan and drone on from the kind of LA indie underground scene of the time that Joss Whedon was very into. And every now and again, it would also feature a band, of course, which were an in-show band called Dingoes Ate My Baby, which was supposed to be the band of one of the characters, Oz, played by Seth Green. Anyway, they'd always walk in, you'd have an establishing shot of the band and this kind of music. And this was just took me away. I was there. So the guitar playing was very, it was quite technical, but not sort of intrusive like a shredding solo. And it had a very ambient, laid-back feel to the music. I mean, you can watch the video. And the singer was very... not droning sounds really terrible, right? But, you know, meandering, wandering, sort of organic. And it was very atmospheric music. And as much as it was, you know, not a perfect performance and not perfect sound, the band had a coherent personality which shone through. And I was really, really taken with them. If you've got anything else to add, I've just thought of what I want to talk about as well, because you mentioned them being a bit worried about being videoed, right? Because videoing and photography was the final feature of that night that we should talk about before we move on. So yeah, anything else on the style of the band, though?
I would just say on New Vector that if you go to the blog, if you watch the video and you feel like, you know, maybe not up to much, bear in mind that the lead singer herself is not pleased with it either. But do follow the link, go to their Dobam page and check out the MP3s, particularly for the song Run Just Run, which is the one which is actually on the video. Check out the MP3 on that. And that, I think, really tells you a lot more about the band and the sort of potential that I think they have. I think they could really be a band to watch here.
Right.
But yeah, the photography thing.
Yeah, let me get into this, right? Yeah. Because basically these are small underground gigs, right? And we all support each other. We want to promote the bands. And actually taking off and sharing of photographs and videos is actually quite important. And using the internet and all these kind of modern communication tools we have. But up to a point. I mean, our blogs feature videos and photos. But we take one or two, maybe video one song of a band we think are outstanding and include it. But there's two big problems. One is the basic principle of flash photography. You don't blind the punters or the band with big flashes. End of story in any gig. It's not done in any other country. It shouldn't be done here. It's just rude and intrusive. So, I mean, flashes are just, like, big, powerful flashes are just outrageous. But the biggest problem seems to be people coming in with their huge rigs, these huge cameras, and continuously photoing or making videos the entire set, every song, continuously, in prominent positions with absolutely no respect for the band or the audience at all. I've always talked about this in the blog, and it had kind of dropped off as people became more aware, but I'm afraid to say on Sunday it was back with a vengeance. And I noticed you mentioned, Jake, the extreme that one photographer went to was...
This really, really wound me up. There was one guy there with a beret on and his big, you know, massive lens camera. And he was actually going up to the stage and moving people's mic stands around.
Yeah, let me reiterate that. He was moving the band's equipment around on the stage as they were playing.
Now, I mean, you know, bringing your massive camera along and, you know, given everything that Andy's just said, that's one thing. And that really annoys me. But really, when it gets to the point where you're actually moving people's band equipment around, where you're actually interfering with the band in such a direct way, I mean, that just takes it to a whole new level. And I'm lost for words, really. I really couldn't understand what he thought he was doing.
I mean, this was a night. It was an 0093 night. They hadn't done one at Yuntang. Well, they not for a while, but I mean, it wasn't as regular as it used to be. Right. I mean, it was enough people there, but not packed. But it was a good atmosphere. Like we mentioned, a couple of the bands were really interesting. It was a pretty good night, and... but it was marred by the fact there was literally a paparazzi pit in front of the stage between the punters and the band in that tiny place. And it's basically down to the owners of the place or the bands to stop and say something, because there's only so much we can do short of just punching these idiots.
Well,
right?
This is the thing. This guy with the berry who was moving people's mics, I mean, you know, I'm not a violent person, but I was getting to the point where I really just wanted to go up and smack him. And like I say, I mean, it was the worst that it's been in a long time, actually. And it was an odd one that it happened to be the, you know, the Ling Ling Joe San showcase. I'm not really sure why that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, really, someone should have been there. Someone should have stepped in, I think, like from Union Town, or you know, one of the bands should have just told him where to go, basically, because it got to the point where it was just ridiculous.
And I think it's also, we talk about the inconvenience or the audacity or the shamelessness of it, but really it's not fair on new bands. I mean, like I said, a couple of photos videoing one strong song from one band, you might be helping them to spread the word and stuff, but sticking them in front of a sort of a semi-professional photographer's pit and videoing their entire performance every time is not doing them any favours at all. But we could dwell on this for a long time. So I'll lead into the next item, because I've just done this on the blog. Harley's Bar. Once upon a time, even before Yu Yin Tang had old Yu Yin Tang, one of the first experiments, a regular venue type, regular indie spot downtown, was Harley's Bar on Nandan Lu in Xujiahui. They're in a basement. And beyond the bar, which is a really nice dive bar, it's quite clean for a dive bar too, with a pool table and darts and the infamous covered up illegal bottle of snake by Joe. I mean, behind it, they have an actual back room kind of area with a kind of a floor in front of a stage. And the sound was never the best, but did I just say a sound was never the best? The sound was never the best, but it felt like a gig. Yeah. There was a stage and there was a standing area in front of it. You could jump around a bit. But things happened I don't want to dwell on. Eventually, they stopped being gigs there. Until recently.
Well, this is it. I mean, Harley's actually, in a lot of ways, seems like a great gig venue. I mean, like you say, the sound was never the best, but it looks and it feels like a, you know, like a rock bar, and it feels like there ought to be gigs going on there, and there ought to be music out the back. And, you know, for a couple of years now, that space has just been wasted, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been nothing going on. Until a few weeks ago, when on Smart Shanghai, Morgan posted up a flyer advertising an event there.
Yeah, a new indie night.
A new indie night. And it seems as if bands are back on.
Yeah, it's an up and down story. The post I wrote, which you can find on the blog a few posts back, is basically speculating that it's, well, not speculating, but asking, is this the start of gigs being back on there? Well, the indie night was featuring a new band. When I say new, the main band leader, or the singer guitarist, used to have a band way back when called The Living Thing, whom I saw at Shuffle Bar when Brad Ferguson was organising the shows there. And he's been out of the scene for a while, and he's formed a new band called the Rainbow Danger Club, and they were opening this new night. And I heard down the grapevine that the organiser, who was supposed to be running the night and being one of the main DJs, didn't show up until the very end to collect his money, and there was a bit of bad feeling, perhaps. I don't want to speculate, I don't know too much, but basically, apparently, that night will not continue at Harley's already after one. That's not a good start for the band, the Rainbow Danger Club, but they are playing, actually, as we speak, at Yu Yin Tang's New Faces night, which is every Wednesday, so they're going to soldier on. And then suddenly, I saw an advert on Douban for a death metal night featuring one of my favourite Shanghai death metal massive bands, Fearless, at Harley's. So it looks like the owner is open for business in that area again. So I just want to say this is one to watch out for, maybe. Great.
We're now going to talk about this weekend, Laia Bodza, who are a website that purports to cover all music in Shanghai, I think it's probably fair to say. They are promoting an event this Friday at Yu Yin Tang.
And this is new for them. It's not technically a first, because they've had the Mushroom Jazz.
Mushroom Jazz last weekend after the Jay-Z
Festival. But it's the first one that falls within our kind of area of the scene that we like to cover.
Right. So the lineup for that is you've got Boys Climbing Ropes, and we've got Duck Fight Goose.
Uyghur.
That is it. I forgot the other day. Uyghur and the Dovetail Joints.
Yeah, Uyghur, who recently won the Global Battle of the Bands competition. We're not going to talk too much about that, what it means or what happened. It's all on the blogs, but that's where they've recently become known to a few more people around the scene.
And on the same night at Mao Shanghai, we have, should we say, a slightly different night going down.
That's right. So this was actually organised a little while before, but the organisers of this started promoting it a bit late. Basically, there's a traditional punk night, and by traditional punk, we mean right back to the 70s, a bit of Sex Pistols and a bit of ska, you know. And but basically, it features Mortal Fools, a Shanghai sort of old school punk band who are excellent, and featuring their last performance with the current lineup, as the drummer Tim Anderson, who's the only expat member of the band, but I mean he's a naturalized local scenester, will unfortunately depart the band. And there's a few bands playing, but their headliner are Mi San Dao. Now these are a Beijing band who model themselves and their lifestyles around being like dressed to the nines skinheads. And if you go to their site, they make a big point of saying anti-fascist, anti-Nazi skinhead. So you needn't be alarmed, but the whole oi culture of 70s punk and ska. And they're a very excellent professional band. So we've got a bit of a, for the first time, a sort of a clash. Two headliner gigs that are both desirable at both Mao and Yuyintang on the same night.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Is that, you know, the whole idea of setting up Mao Shanghai is to give Shanghai a dedicated mid-sized venue. And basically the logic behind that has to be that they can pull in crowds of, I would say, 400 to 500 on a regular basis at least, right? Now, Yuyintang can probably, you know, they pull in, what, 300 maybe for most shows, I would say. And then, you know, if you get a really big band in, then they'll be bursting out the doors. But this is the first time since Mao Shanghai opened a few weeks ago that there's really been a proper choice almost between two big nights, where it's not been an obvious decision, you know, which venue you're going to go to. So it's an interesting one. And the lineup of the bands, I mean, there's enough difference there that it's not same against same at all.
Right. Well, what we were talking about was this idea of local appeal, because we go to a really large amount of shows, especially during the first year of my blog. I even went to even more shows than I usually go to, which is already a lot. And you notice a certain thing is that certain bands that fill out venues like Yuyintang are 99.9% locals attending. You'll be like one of four expats there. And it's the same kind of small group of expats who come there. Some bands and gigs and events, I'm not speculating about why or if it's a good or bad thing, but I mean, some of them have like a 50-50 split and a large expat contingent. Certain promoters are hooked up into the expat world. Some bands don't have, you know, international appeal. I'm not sure what the reasons are, but basically the Layao Borza night is sort of heading towards the kind of the party scene / expat appeal, whereas the Mi San Dao is definitely sort of hardcore locals, hardcore punk fans, and people who are familiar with the Beijing scene and who go out to look for information about bands by themselves. But is that enough to fill out Mao? We'll have to wait and see. Now we think what I want to talk about is Boys Climbing Ropes. So I love Boys Climbing Ropes. They've got a new CD on the way. You can get A Pleasure to Be Here. They're their current EP,
which is also excellent.
Exactly, it's amazing. Intelligent songs, and now a live performance to match it. The songs come across on the stage now, and they're just a great band. And they have one local member, but they're a local band. They're part of the local scene. They're fixtures at local venues, and they're just a great band. And one of the two singers is Little Punk, who's local and has got a singing style, a developed personality. She sings for a band with great music. She puts out like very idiosyncratic performances now as well. But somehow she has eluded this kind of thing we like to call local appeal. You know, she should be looked up to widely by people on the local band scene. But I feel that this weekend locals are going to be attracted to Mao, perhaps. And both of these gigs are going to be good gigs. But my point is they don't cross over. I think I would just hope that more local people would turn onto Boys Climbing Ropes than they do.
Well, I mean, this is the point, is that they are a local band, you know. I mean, the idea that, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the reasons are for this situation, but the idea that because they are foreigners, they're not a local band is ridiculous. They are and have been a part of the local scene for a long time, and they've worked their way up like all the other bands have, and they've earned their dues. They are now one of the top bands in Shanghai. Mm.
They deserve a more widespread support, for sure.
And that's it. They deserve a support which is, you know, which goes across the city and goes across these kind of divides. And it's an odd one. Maybe we'll be wrong, and maybe a Yu Yan Tang this week, you know, on Friday, there'll be a large sort of local crowd will turn out as well.
Mm.
You've got to say, your hunch is that probably a lot of them will go towards Malmore.
Yeah, and what I'd like to say is, people who read the blog and listening to this podcast, you know, you bastards, get on the comments more and tell us what you think. We know you go to some of these gigs, and we specifically have made the comments anonymous registration, where you just put in your name and an email. Okay, we see your email, so you can't outright slag us off or threaten us with death. But
you can, but we will trace you down.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find out where you live and we'll axe murder you. But you know, you can make comments. You don't need to register to make a comment. And we'd love to hear, when you go to these nights, what you think of these bands and issues, right? It's the comments on a blog. It's not been read by that many people, you know, and you don't need to feel embarrassed about it. If you go to one of these nights this weekend, you know, tell us what you think about it. Come on the comments, by all means. We'd love to know, because this is one of those nights where you can't quite see where it's going to go. Now, I can see that we've got about 3 minutes left before we're going to play you out of a track. So I want to talk about Liar Boards of the website a bit more, going to this. They're promoting a night now at Yu Yan Tang, and this can potentially, just having that flyer going around Douban, is going to drive traffic into this site. But this site has been up, must be over a year now, and I've met the driving forces behind the site, and they're really nice people.
Yeah.
The problem with the site is, you can drive all these people in. Is your content going to be there? I know they're looking at a refit. I know they're looking at a new design. I've seen a bit. Yeah, I've bumped into the designer. I don't know names in Buna Cafe and all these. Don't want to sound like a sort of a horrible hipster type person. But, you know, we all know each other. It's not a secret. And everyone's really nice guys. Everyone's got great intentions. But it'll be very interesting to see what's going to happen. And maybe if the event does come off, it's going to spur the Liar Boards of people into action. Maybe we'll see this new design. Maybe we'll see, you know, more content in the future, because, you know, the more the merrier. You know?
Well, I hope so, because, it's funny you say that. It actually makes me think of the Rock Shanghai website as well. And they've got into promoting a lot of events now. And, you know, they had this one-year anniversary thing at Mao, and, you know, they're doing sort of regular, well, maybe not regular events, but they're attaching their name to a lot more things. And that's driving, you know, that's probably driving more traffic to the site.
Yeah, and that site's essentially just what they call a BBS here, or a forum, well, and a Web 1.0 forum. It's had a little makeover, courtesy of the 0093 people.
Right.
But that's basically all it is.
But they've slapped a new face on essentially the same site they have. Yeah. I mean,
but their event was a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Right, so we're sort of almost out of time. We're going to play you out with a track off the LOS album, Love Oxy. Let's talk about this. Which one do you think? Because I love everything in it.
It's tough, isn't it?
Vertigo is an obvious choice. And then I was listening to Scattered Stars Like Diamonds in the Sky the other day, which is a great track. What are your opinions?
I'm a big fan of Dim Light on the end, which is actually quite a bit different to all the other tracks on it. It's quite a sort of slower kind of acoustic number. I don't think that's quite the
not a
track
good
that we want to
gateway,
round up.
Gateway, is it?
No, it's not. It's not indicative of the album. It's probably not the track to round out your inaugural blog with either. It's a bit different. The mood's a bit different on that. But it's a great track. And this is the thing. I mean, the whole album's just, it's, you know, track for track, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So what do we think? We have a few minutes to make a decision here. Are we boring you all yet? So again, we are holding the case right now and sort of stroking it. And I don't want to start giving you these mental images, but it really is a great CD, and we can't give it big ups enough.
My choice would be probably Home Hell, actually, I reckon.
But, all right, we're going to go with Jake's choice then, and we're going to play you a track three off the CD, which is called Next Episode, Lord Smart versus Dr. Jin, and it's called Home Hell.